Okay, it was a big week in Jefferson City. This is the second to last week of our legislative session for 2014, and I want to talk about a few things. The first is we've been talking about this for a couple of years, more than that, really 3 or 4 years. I've been handling legislation to reduce taxes across the board for individuals and businesses. It was a very exciting week. For the first time in 100 years, we are actually doing that now. We overrode the governor's veto, a historic number. We had 23 votes in the Senate, 109 votes in the House, and now every individual in the state will receive a tax cut. We're going from 6% to 5.5%, and we're also providing tax relief for the first time for small businesses, every kind of small business, from the grocer to the auto mechanic to the tree trimmer to the laundromat owner to the guy who owns the pizza shop. Everybody's going to get a tax cut so that they can put that money back in their business and hire more people, buy equipment, and expand our economy. So it's something that I've worked very, very hard on, and it's come to fruition in a historic veto override. What's also important to point out, there are a number of protections in here. This bill is phased in. It doesn't start for 2 years, and it phased in over a 5-year period, and that's based on revenue growth. And so you don't enter into the next phase of the tax cut until there's an additional $150 million received by the state. So we feel like we've done this in a responsible, measured way, but again, always focused on allowing people to have more take-home pay and allowing our economy to grow. That happened this week. Also happened this week, we passed our budget. We passed a budget a day before the constitutionally required deadline. It's a $26.8 billion budget that increased fundings at record level for K-12 education, and we're also putting more money into higher education as well. We have, for the first time, $43.4 million in performance funding for higher education institutions. That's a 5% increase for each sector. That means that we're going to have criteria that we're going to measure institutions of higher learning by, and they'll receive funding based on meeting those measures. As I mentioned before in a previous podcast, the governor's estimate, this is the first time this has happened in a decade or so, consensus revenue estimate is 2% growth. The governor believed that that growth would be closer to 3%. We wanted to budget on a much more conservative estimate. Even with that, our budget appropriation for K-12 education is at historic numbers, $114.8 million that we're budgeting. And if we do reach the revenue growth that the governor has projected, we have another $163 million in there. So a total potentially of almost $300 million more for K-12 if those budget projections are met. But we wanted to obviously err on the side of caution here. And one of the reasons why we have a AAA bond rating and we balance our budget every year. As it relates to Department of Mental Health, we increased funding for individuals in crisis by $38 million. We increased funding for rebasing for providers in the developmental disability community by $30 million. We also increased funding for the autism projects and strengthening the MoHealthNet mental health system. We're very proud of this. This helps all those who are truly in need, and again, is a affirmation of our priorities to help those who are most vulnerable. We also added $11.1 million in additional funding for the Children's Division child welfare programs. We're proud of the budget. It moved forward pretty quickly, and it was a bipartisan budget. There's no question about that. The other thing that happened this week is conferees were named on the student transfer bill. We haven't talked about this in a few weeks, but the Senate passed out a bill to deal with the student transfer issue in St. Louis County and St. Louis City potentially down the road. Early in session, it went over to the House. It took them a while to move on it, but they finally passed their version of it in a conference committee made up of 10 members of the General Assembly, 5 senators, and 5 state reps will help hash out those differences. I was named and very proud to be named to that conference committee. We've already begun those discussions about how we might be able to bridge the gap and ultimately get to a place where we allow the receiving districts to have certainty over the number of students that could transfer, also provide for meaningful education opportunities for kids who are in unaccredited districts like Normandy and Riverview Gardens. We feel we have an obligation to do that, and we have a real opportunity this year, unlike in other years, to actually get that done. So we'll be working on that during the last week of session, which is next week. So we'll be wrapping all the business up and have a year-end update for everybody. I want to thank everybody for listening and hope you have a great weekend.